Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You cannot stand in the presence of God. You have to conceal it. A great test for all of us here today is, are there any things that you're hiding? Are there things that you're concealing? They're hidden. You don't want to bring them out. You don't want to deal with them. I'm not talking about a party you're going to have this afternoon, you know, for somebody. It's a surprise party. I'm talking about things you won't own up to or deal with before God or maybe people if that's necessary. That separates us from the Lord. It's important. So we're not sinners because we have sinned. We sin because we are sinners by nature.
Sin and God don't mix, but by your very nature, you're a sinner. Sin separates you from God, and it gives you a hope to overcome it. You can find forgiveness in Him so it doesn't have to bring you unnecessary suffering and separation from Him anymore. As Pastor Troy is going to point out today, everyone needs to come to God for His forgiveness. We're all sinful by nature. The only way to truly be free from it is through God and the grace He pours out freely on anyone who asks for it. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. Talk about the wall of unbelief. A wall is something that is meant to separate, right? I mean, that's why a wall is put up. It makes a distinction between two sides. This is my side. That is your side. Or you can play on this side, but you can't play on that side. Or the water can go on this side, but not on that side. So it's intended to divide. It separates. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, there's a wall that separates. And it separates those who belong to the kingdom from those who do not belong to the kingdom. And it's not a wall that God builds. God has established the guidelines. He's given us the only way, but He doesn't build the wall for us of our own unbelief. We stack that up. We build that up. And so there is not a physical wall in our life, but there is a spiritual wall of unbelief that is often built by our own hands. It's a wall that can't be climbed over. It has to be dealt with so that one can see the door and enter. And Jesus said we can never find that door without Him. He's the light. He's the one who shows the way. All of those things. But this spiritual wall, it keeps us. Keeps us from the Lord. And this door, Christ, is the only way through. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber." There is no other way to get through this. So we're going to look at this monstrous wall of unbelief. What builds it, contributes to it, and what blasts it? How do we get through it? Exposing it, navigating around it. Some context before we get started. Jesus has been speaking about the fact that He is the light of the world. The religious leaders said, "We don't believe your witness. We don't believe you." So Jesus said, "I'm the light. I expose. I lead." But they say, "Your witness isn't true. We don't believe you." And so Jesus now addresses the significance of unbelief. So in verse 21, chapter 8, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come.' So the Jews said, 'Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come?' And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So let's look at what builds this wall, makes it more massive, even thicker, more formidable. Jesus has a way of boiling things down to their irreducible minimum, to the simple truth, right? It's very basic, and it's the truth. He'll say something like this, you're either in the light or you're in darkness. There is no gray light. Or he'll say, if you don't eat of this bread, you don't have life. And there is no in the middle there. So he has a way of reducing things, and we want to look at his words today and find out what is it that builds this wall of unbelief in our life. Number one is obvious, sin. Sin builds the wall of unbelief. Sin keeps us from seeing anything. Verse 21, he says, you will die in your sin, singular, on purpose. Verse 24, he says, you will die in your sins, plural. Sin singular refers to being a sinner, the sin nature, the nature that we have. Sins plural refers to the acts that prove that we are sinners. There are acts that happen that condemn us, but they only show that we are a sinner. We sin because we are sinners by nature. We're not dubbed a sinner after the first time we sin. You know, if you hear a dog bark, we go, it barks because it's a dog. The nature of that animal is that it's a dog. It barks. But it's not true if we listen to go, it's barking. It is a dog. That's not necessarily true because I could bark. We can imitate a bark. So you can't say sin happened. It's a sinner. It has to be he's a sinner and there's the fruit of who he is. Sinning doesn't make you the sinner. You are already a sinner by nature. But the sins that happen throughout your life are just evidence. They're proof that you are a sinner. So that's our nature. How do we get this way? I mean, that seems kind of unfair. Well, the first time we sinned, is that when it happened? I became a sinner? No, because then we are also back to that beginning argument that I am a sinner because I sinned. My first sin disqualified me from heaven. But really what disqualifies me from heaven goes far, far, far before that. It's my sin nature. See, we have to trace our roots. And I don't know what your last name is here today, but we are all part of the Adams family. You remember that dysfunctional family? You guys remember that family? Well, that's our family. And it's just as dysfunctional. We belong, we come from there, and we have all inherited something from Adam. Romans chapter 5 traces it for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now right there, that phrase, all sinned, doesn't speak about everyone has sinned. Everyone has done it. Because there are people who hadn't been born yet. You know, you and I, we hadn't been born when this was written. And so he's not saying, because everybody has sinned, so they're all sinners. Now, if someone does go through life without a sin, they're going to heaven. No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about Adam sinned, and thus we all developed it. Thus we all sinned. In that moment, it's like we all sinned. The results, the consequences, the effect are as strong on each of us as it was for Adam. We all inherit that same nature. It doesn't matter that Adam was the first one there. We were all there through his genes, and we all sinned as much as he did and contracted something called sin, the sin nature. See, death and sin entered the world, became part of life for everyone. You know that a baby never has to take heroin to be addicted to heroin? You know how? Mom does. Mom takes heroin and it goes into the baby and the baby is addicted and they've got to go through all of the withdrawals and everything else to get that baby off of the heroin. It's like that. The addiction, the baby didn't take it, but it's like the baby did. And that's what this is saying. We're all there. We're all from there. We all have the same root in Adam. And so we are all sinners by nature before we even committed our first one. We're a sinner by nature. Hebrews 7 brings some light to this, talking about Melchizedek and Levi, because they looked up to their Levitical priesthood, right? There was no priesthood higher than God's priesthood, and that was the Levitical priesthood. Well, Jesus was supposed to come in the order of, not Levi, but Melchizedek. The author of Hebrews explains that Melchizedek is a higher priesthood. He says, and look, even our own Levi tithed, because you tithe to the greater, tithe to this Melchizedek. I'm like, how'd that happen? He explains. He says, Abraham is greater than Levi because Abraham is Levi's father. But Abraham considered Melchizedek greater than himself when he tithed to him. And so the author of Hebrews brings it all together and says, so if you really think about it, Levi tithed to Melchizedek through Abraham. It shows that Levi is lesser than Abraham and thus Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a higher priesthood. That was his point, but the argument fits how sin has gone into the world. That's how God views things. He sees it. And so we are born with a disadvantage. When he says you will die in your sin, he's speaking of the sin nature. And you can be a good person, but you're not going to heaven because you are born with a sin nature. It wasn't the first sin that damned you. It was the first sin that brought the evidence against you. In that sense, you could say it did. But you weren't going to heaven. So we needed a Savior. Jesus Christ would be that Savior. So he says, you will die in your sin. That speaks of the condition we're in. But then he mentions sins, plural. Those are the fruits. Those are the things that we do. The things that will be called out in the judgment as the evidence. You are a sinner. No, I'm not. Well, look at these. Tick, 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 tick. You know, yes, you are. They prove that we're corrupt, imperfect, selfish, self-centered.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Our sin nature and our sins keep us distant from God. Last week we talked about Jesus as the light, and we said that there's a dynamic about light. Light, when it gets closer to it, it exposes more. And so if you have sin and you don't want to confess it, have it revealed and confess it, what happens is you have to move away from the light because you cannot stand in the presence of God. You have to conceal it. A great test for all of us here today is, are there any things that you're hiding? Are there things that you're concealing? They're hidden. You don't want to bring them out. You don't want to deal with them. I'm not talking about a party you're going to have this afternoon, you know, for somebody. It's a surprise party. I'm talking about things you won't own up to or deal with before God, or maybe people if that's necessary. That separates us from the Lord. It's important. So we're not sinners because we have sinned. We sin because we are sinners by nature. Our sin and our sins keeps us distant from God. So what's the solution? See, we have no way of getting out of this condition. It's something like a person who takes drugs and contracts something. It's something that's passed down in the blood. We can do nothing about it. We are destined for hell, except for the Savior. Now, I want to say something here after I give the solution. Here's the solution. You and your nature, you're going to go to hell, unless you're born again. You see, it's not just God from heaven, the Father, going, I forgive you. I forgive you. He does. That's what Jesus did. I forgive you. But if there's not a new nature, we can't walk in that. We can't walk in a new nature. We can't walk new. So when we receive, when we believe in Him, there is a new nature deposited into our life that we can now be led by. We couldn't before. We were lost trying to do our best in life. But if we have this new nature, you're born again. It says everything is brand new. You have something in you that's powerful, that overcomes death, sin, the grave. And we grow in this. We grow in our knowledge. We grow in everything in Him. But He deposits it in us as a guarantee, guaranteeing our inheritance. Now, one question brought up in light of the fact that we are sinners by nature and where it's not the first sin that does it is, what about the unborn? They didn't get out here and they can't be saved by Jesus. Look, Abraham wasn't saved by personally knowing Jesus either. He was saved by faith. Now, as far as an unborn child, God knows those who are His. And every child who is His, and I believe, I personally believe, because He said the kingdom of heaven is of such, I believe if that child wasn't given an opportunity at life at all, I believe God collects those individuals because He's a merciful God. The only doctrine I could fit it into would be the extreme Calvinist document, which is God decides it doesn't matter. He doesn't care about who does what. Then that baby died. It's His. That one didn't die. It's not His. And I don't read that for me. I don't read it in the scriptures. I see God's mercy, His love, His grace on whom He chooses. But I believe as things unfold, when someone dies, He knew about it. When someone doesn't get a chance at life, He knew about that too. So all of us sin. And it just proves that we are a sinner. We're not a sinner once we've sinned. Don't go, man, I was trying to maintain myself. Man, I thought I had almost made it through life. Not a sinner. When you were already defeated. We're going to talk about some other things that build up this wall of unbelief. The first being sin. We need that new nature. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so you must repent. It means you got to agree with God about the fact that you are a sinner. Second thing that builds up this wall is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness builds the wall of unbelief. Verse 22, they say, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? This is a very sadistic, sarcastic, and self-righteous comment that they make. See, during this time, what they believed was that if someone committed suicide, they automatically went to the deepest, darkest parts of hell. So that was it. You do not take your life. That's exactly what happens. And so that's what they believed. So when Jesus says, you know, where I'm going, you can't come, they sarcastically say, what, are you going to kill yourself? The obvious intended meaning is what we don't get, but do in the context of the statement, is sending yourself to the lowest parts of hell because we're not going there. We're going to heaven. We're Abraham's kids. That's one place we can't go. Is that where you're going? And so they're putting themselves above him because of their own religion and relationship to Abraham. Because there's no way I'm going to hell. I mean, die in your sin. Talk to me about sins and going to a place. Because I know where I'm going. You heard that from someone before? You go, man, you need Jesus. Hey, I know where I'm going. Well, let me read about it. That's not where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Everyone thinks they're going to heaven. No one's that bad. They think they have their own form of righteousness. Well, self-righteousness builds the wall of unbelief. It keeps a person in the place where they think, I don't need the Lord. I don't need God. I don't need religion. I don't need what you have. They actually consider themselves, this group here, they consider themselves more righteous than Jesus. They're putting him down. You know, Dwight Moody said, you can always tell that a person is far from God by how much they talk about how good they are. I'm fine. I'm in good shape. Me and the man upstairs. Yeah, as soon as they're talking that nonchalantly, you know, they are farther away than they think. There's just something inside the sin nature that seeks to find value in how good we are. There's got to be something I've done. There's got to be something good in me. My contribution makes the difference. But there is nothing without the illumination of Christ and the ordering of Him. There's nothing. We are sinners by nature. We self-seek. We take care of ourselves. We self-preserve. And in this self-righteousness, let me tell you something about how twisted it can get. There's a gift of mercy. So some are very soft-hearted, you know, just forgive them. Yeah, but they killed someone, I'll forgive them. It's just this gift that they have. They cannot stand and see someone being judged or spanked or whatever it might be, you know. So there's this gift. It's a good gift, but if it's not balanced with truth, it can be an excess. And so those same gifts that we have can become self-serving. So instead of really caring about the person, and right now they need truth and they need to be dealt with, we just can't see that. Don't let them fall. Don't let them stumble. And so we sort of serve ourselves because now we want to help this person or these groups because it'll make me feel better. I will feel better. And it really becomes self-righteousness. It's not for them at all. Otherwise, we would do the hard thing. We'd be able to, we'd be willing to do the hard thing because we're led by the Lord. At the same time, now we know we have the other group, the administrator. It's the law. It's the way it goes. Who cares? You don't keep up. And so there's really no mercy. We need each other. We, all the sides need each other. But the administrator, they're just task driven. We got to get the task done. I'm falling behind. Well, then out of here. Die. You know, we got work to do. And so they're focused on the task. There's nothing wrong with that. But in Christ, we get out of ourselves. And yes, we emphasize what we do well. We all have gifts. An administrator. I've always administrated. Getting things done, getting things solved, getting things resolved. But we need both sides. And the administrator has to learn. This is a human being. They make mistakes. You do. So that means they do too. And so we need to give mercy. And so we're being changed. And we're learning to be Christ-like. Though we'll always be an administrator, we'll see things through that lens. We are learning that there's a big world out there that doesn't fit into our perfect little plans. And then on the other side, I've seen the mess of mercy. I've seen that side where there is no order. Who cares? They weren't here on time, you know. And I've seen that side. And the administrator's like, they're not here on time. They're not out of the plan. And then the mercy person is, just have fun. And it can get really sloppy and messy. And everyone's going to heaven by the end of it. We need balance. We're all learning to be Christ-like. And we're getting out of ourself and our own sin nature. The person over here, the administrator, we talked about the mercy person. The administrator over here can all be about himself too. Because I want to get stuff done. Because I want them to see when I'm in charge, it gets done. So it's still about you. It's God's kingdom though. We want to do the best for God. No, submit to me. Follow the law. Even the things that we do with the gifts given by God can be done selfishly because of a sin nature that we have. We're just rotten to the core, guys. Accept it. And then push in on the Lord, trust in Him, and do things the way He says to do it, or we will not make a difference in people's lives. We'll just enable them to do the same things over and over, whether it's blame the legalist for every problem in the church, or who cares? I wasn't here 15 minutes early on time. Then they told me after the 25th time they don't need my services. Man, where's the grace of God in that? Well, I'll tell you where the grace of God is. It's in Him, and it's on the others who have to keep getting called to come in because you aren't there.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your